Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by two fellow monks. They're actually visiting monks here with us at the monastery currently, and they've agreed to be with us this afternoon to talk about their experience of being visiting monks. Welcome, Todd and Lakota.
Hello. Hi.
So both of these folks are quite veterans of the program of being visiting monks here. And so I thought I would just open it up and have you folks tell us about your experience of being part of this program and what it's kind of offered to your practice and that sort of thing. So who'd like to start us off? Okay, Lakota.
Yeah. Thanks. Having the opportunity to be here as a visiting monk has just been, it's been one of the most amazing things. It's just, it feels like a giant support to the heart. It's one of those things that the voices would tell me was never possible. And so being able to be here and just proving them wrong in that huge way is just, I mean, it's amazing. And, you know, and this program specifically, the Visiting Monk Program, is really amazing because it makes this thing, monastic practice, available to me that in a way that's, it just felt like a huge leap to do it, but also something that I could do, you know? Because if it was a choice between being a retreatant and being a full-on, like, monk, and before, you know, not really knowing what that's all about, like, what is it like to be a monk? And all these crazy ideas about what that means and like, oh, you got to commit for the rest of your life and all this and that. And realizing, oh, here's this opportunity where I can come for a month and find out what it's all about. And it just opened this door that I never imagined was possible to this way of deepening practice that just blows my mind. It opens the heart so much and it challenges conditioning so much. And another thing I really love about it is it's we've been talking in the Sangha about that kind of shift towards mentoring the adult that wants to do practice, the practitioner. And this is really a way of stepping into that role of being the adult who wants to step up and show up for practice and taking responsibility for my practice and giving back too. Giving back in the form of service and working meditation every day. It's so fun.
Yep. I was just talking with someone recently about that incredible gift that those of us who are here on a day-to-day basis receive of getting to be that which is holding down the fort, kind of in a sense, and being the, you know, keeping the home open for the Sangha as a base. And I really hear what you're saying is that a piece of the opportunity is to participate in that on a physical level. I mean, everyone in the Sangha participates in keeping practice alive and keeping practice expanding. But I hear part of what you're saying is to be part of the physical manifestation of offering practice is really quite a joy.
It is such a joy. Like, it's such a joy to move the body in this way. And today we're helping build a building and I've never helped to build a building before. That's outrageous.
Yeah.
If you would have asked me before, I would have said it was impossible. But here we are building and building. And it feels so fun to be a part of that, to be a part of this community, and just deepening that sense of being a part of this community on this real hands-on, practical level. It is a joy.
Yeah, and it's funny, Lakota, because as you said, helping to build a building, I just sort of ticked off in my mind the various things we've done today. I mean, the variety in every single day, sitting down on the cushion completely silent and still for 30 minutes several times, cooking in the kitchen, everyone together, cleaning up, building a building, you know, cleaning a bathroom, cleaning an outhouse. I mean, it's so varied what we get to participate in.
Yeah, every day is a new day, and I never know what the assignment's going to be, what the task is, what life is asking for. And I just get to show up and say yes, and it's a joy.
Well put. Todd.
Hi. Thank you, Jen. Yes, very well put. I think Lakota's a mind reader. He just articulated every thought I just had about the deepening visiting monk program. Well, I've had the opportunity to do it actually more than several times, and I'm just currently in my third month of this stint. So, yeah, I've had some incredible transforming experiences, and I was just sharing guidance earlier today that probably one of the greatest highlights for me is to be of service and to give back to practice what it has just so generously given me. And we have a little a thing that supports us. It's like a little handout that we do, and we use that as encouragement every moment. And one of the parts of it is there that we're training to be stewards of practice. And it is said to me once that full-time monastic practice or visiting monks get an opportunity to anchor the Sangha. And I've been on the other end of this phone for so many times as a listener and always thought, geez, what would it be like to be a monk? What would it be like to be there as an extended stay? And then the monastery started to offer these extended stays. And my greatest encouragement, it's so experiential, but it's very difficult to put into words, but my best encouragement to anyone out there that ever has the opportunity to bring all of their life into practice for an extended time, as opposed to, for me, early in practice, I had little parts of my life. This is practice, and this is the, you know, work, and this is, but I compartmentalize it. But when I get here and do the deepening practice or visiting monk program, my entire life is into practice.
One of the things I really appreciate that actually both of you have touched on is that sense of course, conditioning does what, with monastic practice, what it will do with everything, which is think that it knows, come up with ideas, you know, oh, well, you couldn't possibly do that because you're not the kind of person who da-da-da, and being willing to step forward and say, really? I mean, is that so? How do I know that? And then coming and finding out, as you said, Todd, in an experiential way, that what being a monk is just simply bringing all of life into practice. And that I know, you know, both of you, I've heard talk about this because you've come here, you've spent periods of time, gone back to your, you know, day-to-day life, and that deepens your ability to have to not have that separation of this is practice and this isn't. As you said, Todd, this is work and this is practice, and that being at the monastery, in my experience, like no other practice opportunity really offers us the practice of bringing everything into practice, not just a few things.
Yes, that's exactly my experience. It does give me that ability to, when I go back out into the other world, to bring everything that I encounter into spiritual practice and to kind of a monastic training attitude of mind that I carry with me always. It's funny, every time I come back from monastic practice, it's like a homecoming. And Jen touched on it earlier that we're keeping the home fires burning here in the monastery, and everyone does their part. And it's an honor and a privilege to be a part of that, and I'm deeply grateful.
Well, thank you both so much for being with us. So if folks are interested in looking into the program, there's information about it on the website. It's really a program designed for people who, I think Todd alluded to it, who really want to deepen their practice. So not someone who's brand new to practice, because it's a lot to take on monastic training. It's quite different from being here on a retreat, but such a great step for someone who's been on a number of retreats with us, really knows in the deepest place of their heart that practice is what they want to do in their lives. It's just a really wonderful way to bring that deeper. So I want to thank you both for being with us this afternoon, and I know we'll be hearing from you lots more.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Jen.
All right, Michael, are you there?
I am.
Okay, great. So before we turn it over to you and Sherry for the regular show, I just wanted to say that we're not going to be playing the normal sponsor ads this week, and that's because anyone who's tuned in the last couple weeks knows we were having some mysterious audio problems with that piece of the show, and we haven't been able to clear it up. So instead of putting people back through that torture again, we thought we might skip them this week. But I do hope that, you know, whenever people have software needs, they think of Porch Dog Software and the beautiful books that Sherry makes in Simply Celebrate. I can't remember how she talks about them, the remembering books or the memory books. I can't remember exactly the term, but they're quite beautiful. And so I hope people will consider Simply Celebrate when they have a need like that come up. And we will take a couple breaks, but we'll be doing announcements during those breaks instead of the advertisements.
Great.
So I think that's it, Michael. Have a fabulous show.
Okay, Jen. Thank you. Good afternoon. Welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
Very good, very good. And yourself?
Great, great. Glad to be here.
Yeah. You know, I hate to start out this way because, you know, nobody likes to be a complainer. But I got to say, you're a little bit under the water for me. So
oh, wow.
I keep waiting for you to talk a little bit more so I can see. But your voice is very soft and kind of underwatery. So I hope we're not losing you. First we lose our sponsors, and then we lose our host. You know, I'm bound to be next, although I could probably just sacrifice Jen before I actually went. But
great. Well, I will do my best to speak up and speak as clearly as I can.
Good. You sound way better there.
Oh, oh good.
Very
okay.
Relieved. All right.
Okay. Phew.
Yeah.
So a couple of reminders for our callers to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get started.
All right. Thank you.
Sure. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jennifer from Washington State.
Hello, Jennifer.
Hi, this is my first time ever calling.
Well, you are a very brave human being.
I am.
Is your heart pounding like crazy and it feels like your throat is going to close up and you can't say anything?
Well, my heart is pounding a little faster than normal, I have to admit, yes.
But other than that, you're cool,
other than
calm,
that, I'm
collected.
Okay. Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent.
I've been okay. Well,
good.
I have read all of your books. I have them all. I have all of the CDs. I've done many in-home retreats and reflective listening buddies. And, probably a couple years of repeated making a change for the good self-guided retreat. And I have never been able to come down to the monastery, which I would love to, but due to health concerns and problems, I'm not even able to travel. So I thought the only thing I haven't done is call open air. So,
and here you are.
And here I am.
Wow. Well, that is fabulous.
Yeah.
So can you tell us a little about what's going on in your practice or your life or whatever? So,
yeah, well, I've been meditating regular practice-wise for a few, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, and I've been listening. I'm on my second time through every single open air.
Good grief.
And that's amazingly helpful because you're a new person the second time through.
Yes, and, yes.
Yeah. And
you know, it's true with all those things, isn't it, Jennifer?
I mean,
we don't realize it because conditioned mind works so hard to make us believe, you've done that. You know, and then we do it. It's like making a change for good. You know, you can do that once a month, for a month, every month, for the rest of your life and have a completely different experience. Because
we're
different every second.
Yes, and even if I decide to do the same project, more than once with making a change for good, it's different the second time around.
Yeah, yeah. Even I might take on something like procrastinating or not keeping things picked up or whatever it is, say for somebody like me, patience. And, a lifelong project, and it's still going to be different every time we approach it.
Yep, yep.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing that keeps pushing me towards practice actually is something I wish I would not experience, which is I had my thyroid out, and I've had been in sort of endocrine nightmare land ever since. That's been quite an experience of being out of control.
Oh God.
Yeah.
I will say I cannot even imagine.
Well,
I heard
you had a little thyroid thing there.
Yeah, I was going to say I can probably imagine a lot more than a lot of people having had Graves' disease. And even at the height of Graves' disease, I knew I would do anything to hold on to my thyroid, because the difference in what happens to a person with a thyroid and without a thyroid is, well.
Yes, you were brilliant to do that. That was very
desperate. Yeah.
Well, I commend you.
Well, it's that thing that, you know, I mean, you and I can both go there for in different directions, but I was just with somebody recently, and the doctor is saying, we can put you on synthetic whatever it is, and you, and it's like, no. I can get close to violent. You know, do not tell people that we can put you on synthetic medication and it's going to work like your body, because you're sending them home to, as you've noticed, a life of hell.
Yes, I totally agree with you on that one. That has been my experience.
Yeah.
So in my fun nightmare here, I've had many other endocrine glands. Well, it's a domino effect, and so other ones go, and adrenals go, and so you get things like huge adrenaline rushes and panic attacks and heart out of control and all of this stuff. And to practice has been the only thing that has helped me cope with this, to try to get a little distance from these alarming physical sensations and emotional and psychological alterations, and to stand aside and say, you know, that's not you.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
You know, one of the things that we talk about a lot, and we're going to be talking about it even more, I suspect, is losing interest in how you feel. Now, that's one thing for a regular person who is relatively healthy and has some ability to have a sense of how they feel.
Right.
When you get into the kind of places that you live, there's no way to tell how you feel.
No.
Right? Because from minute to minute, it could be anything from the most loving person in the world to the next hatchet murderer.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I've been very, I feel really fortunate that I had already been attracted to this practice, and it particularly spoke to me, and it has been a thing that I have been able to hold on to and take refuge in when there's huge storms going on internally that I don't have any control over.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
And so now my challenge, I'm feeling relatively better at the moment, but who knows? And
right.
It brought me also into my latest project, which is working on being, what would it be like not to abandon my body? So that is my challenge.
Yes. Yeah. You know, I don't know if I've said this when you've been listening, but that was the deciding factor for me, because it's not that I had a lot of experience with what happens to people when people start taking chunks of their body out, deeming them unnecessary. But I felt so sorry for my thyroid. You know, now I didn't have thyroid cancer, so that's a very different decision that I was making. But I thought, you know, this poor little thing, it served me really well for a long time, and then it just kind of went insane. And I think part of its insanity was what I was doing and it was trying to cope with.
Yeah.
And so now somebody wants to kill it just because, you know, it's been a victim to, some bad treatment. And so to take that and apply it to a whole body that's doing the best that it can under miserable circumstances to keep taking care of you and keep you alive.
Yes. And still, that nasty conditioning takes full advantage of this. And working on not abandoning the body, of course, then I go look to conditioning to see, am I in my body? Am I staying in my, am I doing this right?
And my
hope gone downhill, and so I get all kind of critique for that, that's all my fault, and
So it seems to me our only real refuge, and this really does kind of go under the heading of losing interest in how we feel, is just smear everything with unconditional love.
Yes.
You know, how are you doing on this? Who cares? She is unconditionally lovable. We're going to unconditionally love her. You know, are you making some progress? Are you feeling better? Is this worse? Is it? We can't entertain those questions because they distract us from what it is that we're focused on, which is unconditional love.
Yes, that's right. There's so much of a pull to be tracking every symptom and looking at everything and seeing if what we're doing is working and all of that. And you're right.
Yeah.
It's such a distraction.
Yeah, it just doesn't matter. And it all, even though it can, yeah, I mean, there's so much support for you have to do that. That's an intelligent thing to do. You know, you're going to miss a symptom and then God knows what will happen to you. And, you know, there are just some of us folks who would rather live well for however long we live than to live in that kind of you know, under the microscope of egocentric karmic conditioning and self-hate for a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for that message. I recently heard an open air where that was a great message, that the only job was unconditional love if it took forever, and that
right.
It wasn't a conditional thing where, oh boy, I'm going to do unconditional love and then everything will get better.
Right. Then I can go back to sleep. I can go unconscious for the rest of my life. No.
Right. No.
Well, Jennifer, thank you so much for calling in. It's great to hear from you. I hope now that we're on your rotation, your practice rotation, we'll hear from you with some regularity.
That would be great. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jennifer. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hey, Sherry. Hey, Michael. This is Justin calling from Toronto.
Hi. Hey, how are you?
Good. I'm so happy I'm on. I've been trying for the last couple of weeks to get on and for whatever reason, technical or whatever, and I haven't been able to get on, but I'm on.
Yeah, you're
so,
on.
This is great.
It's great to hear your voice. What are you up to?
Oh, well, I've been trying all day not to think of what I was going to say or plan, but this is good. I was up. I was at a retreat earlier this summer, earlier
mm-hmm.
this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so just trying to take care of myself, like, you know, in terms of not falling the same traps, EKC would put out there for me.
Uh-huh.
So, calling in, I think, is just really important for me just to keep in touch, stay part of the Sangha, and just to kind of remind myself that, what my priorities are.
Yes. Yeah, you know, that was a fun image I had when you said that about laying traps. I thought, you know, I don't know when you were a kid, but I was a kid. There were all these, like, the biggest fantasy was to be able to dig a big hole and then cover it over with stuff in the in the woods, such that your playmates would fall into the hole. You know, kind of like the, the movies that you would see of the good guys trapping the bad guys that way, you know. And it was so much fun, and we were never successful because I think we didn't lay very good traps. But I just had this image of, I wish we could have the same spirit of adventure in avoiding those traps that karmic conditioning is constantly laying for us. And maybe it's not as much fun for us because the traps are actually pretty well set and we actually fall into them quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. And getting out is Well, number one, sometimes, I mean, the whole point is not even knowing that you're in the trap, and then
right.
figuring out when you're at the bottom, how do I get out? So, yeah,
yeah.
For me, it's, you know, my practice started years ago, and I guess when I first started, I took a very rigid and kind of very hard-nosed kind of approach. You know, you have
uh-huh.
to do it. And
yeah.
so sitting and, you know, that came a little easier. But, I mean, over the years, you can just, you know, you can only keep going for so long before, you know, or my experience has been, I shouldn't generalize, but my experience has just been, you know, a truly loving relationship, you know, is the only way to have a kind of a long-term relationship with myself. And
yes.
so it has been really difficult for me. I mean, so it's, you know, the goofiest part, I mean, it's a central part of my practice is sitting meditation. And it has been challenging the last couple of years, you know, to kind of maintain it.
Literally. To take the time to sit down, or is it more staying focused while you're sitting, or do you get talked out? What makes it hard to?
Where does it break down?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I hate saying this because it just feels like I'm repeating thousands of calls that you've heard, you know, and I've heard on Open Hair, but it's just everything comes up. So for me, you know, I've got a young family. And all these issues just seem so much more important. So,
yeah.
You know, I purchased a house last year, just did the bathroom, you know, a couple of weeks ago. I just got a new job 3 months ago, you know.
Mm.
So, and all of that tells, you know, and conditioning will tell me that, you know, each one of these is so much more important than practice at the time.
Yeah.
Right. So,
yeah. Yeah. And so let me ask you this. I'm guessing by the things you're doing with your life that you're pretty committed to your partner.
Yes.
Okay. And yet when kids come along, it gets harder for the grown-ups to have the relationship that they got together in order to have.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And then when we add things like, you know, now we've got a house to take care of. And, you know, so we've got suddenly all of this stuff that, as you say, is a high priority. And they are our choices, right? You're not going to throw any of those back in, right? So I'm curious how you look at your relationship with your wife as these changes happen in your lives. How do you stay committed? How do you let her know that she's still important to you, still a priority for you, that even though all of your attention isn't on her right now or the way you would perhaps like it to be because there are these kids and there's this house and there's this new job. How do you let her know that she's still?
Well, you see, this is the crazy thing. And I hope she feels the same way, but, and maybe it's a good question to ask, but, you know, the commitment that I have to, our child is, I interpret that as being a reflection of my commitment to us as well. And it's purely projection. I mean, I think that's what she thinks because that's what I think. When she makes that commitment to spending time with our daughter, then it's a commitment to me to a certain extent. And then that's how I interpret it. Is
mm-hmm.
that the, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
But our relationship has definitely changed, yeah.
Yes. And so does your relationship with practice over time as your life changes.
Sorry, is that a question or that's?
Well, not really, because you already answered the question.
Yeah.
But just to make that connection, that the voices would, of course, the voices are arguing for failure everywhere all the time, right? I mean, that's just at least if yours are like most people's, they're constantly looking for what's wrong in the relationship and what's wrong in the this and what's wrong in the job and what's wrong with the it's that kind of negative harangue is just what the voices do. But you know that that's what the voices do, and you know where you are in your heart with the aspects of your life. And so you know that you have to go up against those voices, and they're going to keep at you, and you have to keep your attention where you want your attention to be rather than sliding off and going with them and making yourself and everybody else miserable. And I'm just suggesting to you that that same attitude of mind can apply to practice.
Sorry, Sher, can you kind of make it a little, maybe, so you're saying my caring for my relationship with practice, how does, maybe just run through that one more time?
Yeah, but what the voices want to do with practice, with everything in our lives, is make it an either or. So
yeah,
you
exactly.
Had one practice when you were single.
Yep. No, I get it.
And all that's going on is that this is a really different, really big, busy time in your life.
So,
your relationship with practice changes, but we don't have to let that turn into a negative, because there's a way in which, all those absence makes the heart grow fonder kinds of things. Being separated from that which we love can actually make it more desirable for us. So you can know that there's going to be a time in your life, and you can be angling for it. I always kid people that what we need to do in situations like yours is make practice the affair.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I got my marriage, I got my family, I got my all of that, and practice is my love affair. So do we have as much time together as we would like? No. But we're always looking to see how that can happen. Now, of course, if we don't want to go too far in that direction, because we want your wife also to be supportive of this love affair that you have going, so we might be stretching the images a little there. But do you see what I mean?
Absolutely. No, that's a really beautiful way of putting it. And that's why when I hear Todd or when I hear the other visiting monk, Lakota, I know that in the future, practice is going to be there and it's going to be a big part of my life. But right
exactly.
Now, and that's why it's such a, this is really such a beautiful way of putting it. And I
yes.
see it really, really.
And right now, have you ever read Thich Nhat Hanh's Miracle of Mindfulness?
No, not that. But
well,
I
mean,
read it. Yes, no, I have not.
Yeah, he's great, and you know he. So we kind of know what his point of view is. But he has this one particular thing in that book that I'll tell you that has just always stuck with me. So a fellow came and was talking to him about practice, and it was kind of the same. You know, I have time with my wife, and I have time with my son, and I have time at work, but I never have any time for me. And Thich Nhat Hanh's response was, but time with your wife is time for you, and time with your son is time for you, and time with your work is time for you. So you see, all of your life is time for you. And what the fellow had been missing, of course, you know, he fell into the trap that many of us do on occasion.
Sorry, Sherry, I missed that. My line was breaking up.
Sherry, are you there?
I think we lost Sherry. Sir, Michael, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Justin. Sherry, are you there? Justin, I'm going to put you on hold for a second. Sherry's dropped off, and get you back on when she comes back on.
Great.
Good. Thank you, Justin. Jen, are you there?
I'm here, Michael.
Okay, great. Sherry's just dropped off.
I hear that.
Huh. Yes.
You know, we've had all sorts of challenges out here at the end of our dirt road, and that we've had some big rains recently, so hopefully she's just kind of, I don't know what, going to get on another phone maybe, although that might be tricky because most of our landlines are out, but we'll see. But in the meantime...
And you're going, I think you're going the same place I'm going.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We have an opportunity to take our break now.
Perfect. Let's do it.
Okay. So I have a few announcements.
Okay. Great.
A reminder that the 2013 schedule has been posted. It includes new retreats as well as the longtime favorites, some new retreat locations, variety of events you can join in from home via conference calls or the internet, including email classes with Sherry, and much more.
Yeah, there's actually so much more, and I think we're going to work on pulling together a good news update towards the beginning of the year next year to really highlight things, because so much work and effort and care and attention went into creating that schedule, and I can say it because I had almost nothing to do with it. So, but just really, you know, taking care to kind of look at a cross-section of who's practicing and what are the various practice needs that different people have, and attempting to really address those. So, as you say, there's actually a couple retreats on the East Coast, one in the North Carolina area, one probably somewhere around the New York, Pennsylvania kind of area. So, yeah, there's a lot on the schedule, so that's really fun.
Great, great. And to kick things off for this year, mark your calendars for a free live video workshop with Sherry on Sunday, January 20th.
Yeah.
It's entitled The Cooperative of Practice Being Lit Up Together.
And that is really the kickoff for the focus of our entire next year. So this year was the year of deepening practice and, you know, segueing into the year of the Cooperative of Practice Being Lit Up Together. So that event on the 20th is really going to be the kickoff of that whole year. So really big encouragement for people to join us live, and just, it's kind of a fun, you know, we get to do the radio shows and that sort of thing, but the video adds a really fun extra element. So hopefully lots of people will join us for that.
Yes, it's fun. Everyone's invited. And if you go, it was posted right on the homepage, so easy to sign up for it.
Right.
And Reflective Listening Buddies, a new quarter begins January 15th. This is a program that provides an opportunity to connect with another participant each week for a practice support call. And it includes training and support conference calls as well.
Very good.
And the deadline to sign up for that is January 1st at 5 p.m. Pacific time.
That's a program we've featured on Good News many, many times, and had countless folks give testimonials of, you know, I've heard so many people say, well, I mean, come on, just sitting on the phone with someone for half an hour and reflecting them? I mean, how can that be? But just, yeah.
That's great.
Really, really an amazing opportunity.
Yes, yes. And I see that Sherry is back on the line here.
Well, perfect timing.
Good timing.
Thanks,
Thank you,
Michael.
Jen. Good day. Welcome back, Sherry.
Yeah. I thought it was a near-death experience. I was going along, and then all of a sudden, I realized I wasn't there. It was that split second where I thought, oh, I lost Justin. But then I realized, no, actually, I lost me. It's kind of a big spiritual moment.
Yes. Great. Well, that's what we're going for, yeah.
Yeah. So is that, did you all handle that? Did you, somebody talk to him and say goodnight?
Justin,
and...
Yeah. Justin is still here, so if you want to finish up that conversation.
Oh, excellent.
I mean, Justin, you should be now.
Hey, Sherry.
Live now.
Hey, sorry about that.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi.
I thought it was me.
Pardon me?
Oh, I thought it was me as well, but no, we're I'm here.
Oh, good, good. So anyway, I bet you're tracking right along with where I was going. Is that the case?
Absolutely, absolutely. And that, you know what, is really helpful just to put things into perspective again. Because, yeah, and I could just feel the part of me that gets demoralized really pick that up. So that was very, very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, good, good. Yeah, and always, if we keep practice in that, well, I don't have as much time as I want for it right now, but by golly, I'm working hard to arrange things so that there can be more. And then our hearts really stay open.
Exactly. Well, thank you, Kesha.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Good night, Sherry.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Justin. And we have another caller, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry. It's Zoe from Buffalo.
Hello, Zoe. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Good. Good. Now that I'm back from the dead, what's going on?
Well, there was a couple of things. First of all, I'm really excited about the schedule, and I thought about calling and maybe asking for a suggestion because I seem to not know how to know what I should set my intention to sign up for.
Uh-huh.
So I thought that might be very helpful because the first time I called, you made a suggestion in that direction, and it was extremely helpful. So.
Oh, good. What did you do?
Well, the first time I called, you suggested I go to There's Nothing Wrong With You.
Mm-hmm.
And I did.
Did you like it?
I did. I loved it. It was amazing.
Uh-huh. All right. And so what's going on?
And so last summer,
uh-huh.
In August, I went to Not What But How. And,
mm-hmm.
That
was cozy,
so,
wasn't it?
Oh, yes. It was...
and now you're ready for?
So there's so many things on that schedule, and they're all so exciting. And I thought maybe I should ask.
Well, now let me ask you this, because we did, you noticed, we did a lot of kind of different stuff this year with shorter retreats and longer retreats. And so are you looking to come to California?
Well, yeah, I was hoping actually that I could come back to the monastery for maybe a longer retreat, and then I saw that there was one on the East Coast in the fall, and so I thought, oh, wow, that would be great if I could go to both things. And, I want to go to the monastery at least once.
Okay, and so are there any themes that are particularly attractive to you right now in your life?
Well, so what I've been looking at a lot is sitting practice and sort of watching the process of that, and then trying to get to the bottom of it. Because I know it's been very difficult for me to stay focused, and I've been turning my attention from a critique of how I'm doing, as we talked about last time,
mm-hmm.
to, this is something I really want to do. You know, how can I do this, and how can I, and so... So anyway, I mean, I don't know if that's related to the retreat at all. I mean, all of the themes of the retreats in their titles look appealing to me.
You know, Zoe, there's one that just occurred to me when you described what's going on. And that's one, and I can't, Jen is there, or maybe Michael has it too, with the schedule. But there's one called Your Practice. And I can't remember when it's on the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting thing about that, and maybe you know, but is that the person decides what their focus is. So rather than, you know, doing relationship or there's nothing wrong with you or that sort of thing, the person who's been practicing for a while comes with their own theme and is supported in working with that aspect of practice for the time that they're at the retreat.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be an interesting one if you came with kind of the there would be two facets. One, I want to do a sitting practice, and how does a person do what it is that they want to do?
Sure, I have the dates for that.
Thanks, Michael.
It's the first week of June, June 1st through 8th.
June 1st through 8th.
Oh.
Ooh, a much nicer time to be there than Joy was there last time. Not that August isn't fabulous in our part of the world.
Yeah.
So anyway, that could be something fun to consider because it would be a much they tend to be a more just a more varied retreat because anybody who's there would be doing the same thing. So it's, you know, you get to hear a lot of different aspects of practice and be with people who are just working on different elements.
Cool. Yeah, this is good because I've been getting so many voices about all of this and I haven't been able to get something. Like I felt like I needed some guidance instead of just, you know, all I have is conditioned mind. I don't have, you know, any other information coming in about this. And so, you know, like self-hate was like, well, you should do, there's something wrong with you again because, you know, you're like horrible and, you know, you don't know anything. And, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
I know I know those voices.
And so... You know,
yeah.
I'm like, I need some other information here, you know.
Yeah.
So
that could
okay.
be fun. And as you know, of course, the main thing is just to get to the monastery because that's where so much of that good transformation takes place. You know, the other thing, I don't know what life circumstances are, but you heard Lakota and Todd talking at the beginning of the show, and that's another thing that's a possibility for people if there's life permit. Yeah.
I would love, part of me really, really just wants to do that. And then there's, you know, a lot of like, oh, that will never happen. You can never do that. Like, you know, and then, you know, I have this whole other stream about how I need to get a better job and make more money so I can go on retreat more. And then, you know, I don't know. Right now, it seems like that would be quite difficult for it to take a month off of my life. I really would want to, but I am married, and I just feel like I would, you know, like that's kind of what I just can't picture just leaving. I don't know. I guess maybe it's because it's somewhat.
It's a negotiation, Zoe. It's definitely a negotiation. But the good news about it is you don't actually have to work more to be able to afford more retreats that way.
Yeah.
So there is that.
I would like to know a way around that because this is like this loop that I've been in and trying to get out of as well is like, you know, oh, like I don't make any money and I need to get a job so I can make some money so I can, you know, maybe do more retreats during the year because I can see how transformative the just being there is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, we've given you some ideas, so
thank you.
We'll see what comes, what evolves from here, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, thank you.
You're very
all
welcome,
right,
Joy. Take care.
You both. Bye bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Zoe. Sherry, we're going to take a break here, and then we'll be right back.
Okay.
Welcome back, Jen.
Thanks, Michael. So I had a few announcements I wanted to make during the break. One is just to remind people that we're still in the market for a car. That should anyone have one that they no longer need, or they want to donate it for a tax deduction, or who knows why, someone might find themselves with an extra car. You never know. But yes, all-wheel drive and automatic are kind of the two key features we're looking for.
Got it. All-wheel drive and automatic.
Yep. Very, very helpful in the terrain that we drive in. And, you know, being a community where we have lots of different drivers, it tends to work better for the car to have an automatic than a stick. So
yes,
those are the two things we're looking for. So if you have a car that fits the bill, just contact. You can email information@livingcompassion.org, the main office.
Great.
And then I just wanted to underline what I think people are doing already. Actually, our internet is down here, but so I can't see today. But last time I was on the internet during the show, I noticed that people really are starting to register with TalkShoe. And that's really, really helpful to being able to take a variety of callers and have you be able to do your make your best shot at bringing on many different people on the show. So maybe you could say a few words about how people do that.
Sure. So if they go to the TalkShoe website, which is talkshoe.com, they can click on sign up, and you'll be asked for a username and password. And we ask people to pick a PIN, even though it's an optional field, because the PIN is what ties the person to the username.
Got it.
So that I can see them on the screen there.
Okay.
So the username, you know, could be any made-up name. And then when you call in, you'll be asked for the show ID, you know, which is 15406. It's on the website.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need to put your PIN in there rather than clicking, I think it's 1 for guest.
Right.
You enter that 10-digit PIN. And if there's a phone that you know that you're going to be calling from, you can use that 10-digit phone number as your PIN.
Oh, okay.
And the system will automatically recognize you as coming from that phone number.
Okay. All right.
So that can simplify the process of calling in.
Okay. But you don't necessarily have to do that piece.
Correct.
Okay. All right. And just to underline that one piece you just said, which is that even if you're registered and you have a username and PIN and all that, if you don't use it when you call into the show, then it doesn't actually work in the way we're wanting it to work. So instead of putting £1 when you call in, you'd put in your PIN, and that's the way you would be able
exactly
to get folks in the queue. And it doesn't matter to us, you know, you don't need to, as you said, the username can be anything. It's not that we need to know who you are. It's just the frequency of taking people, you know, wanting to take people in a variety of order, just so we have, you know, give people lots of people a chance.
Yes, yes, exactly.
And then I think we had one more announcement about upcoming shows.
Yes.
So what are the dates that we won't be meeting because of the holidays?
Right, so that's next Tuesday, Christmas Day. And the following Tuesday, New Year's Day, we will not be having shows those days.
Kind of, I don't know, good luck or bad luck, depending on how they both seem all that day. Yeah, we won't be having a show on the 25th and not on the 1st either. But that couldn't stop people from listening to the archives. That might be a great support for people on those days. So.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep. All right, so I guess we'll see you in 2013, huh?
Yeah, 3 weeks from today, huh?
Well, very good.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Michael.
Yeah.
Okay.
Welcome back, Sherry.
Yes. Hello, Michael.
Hello. And we have another caller.
Very good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Renee.
Hello, hi. Renee.
Hi. Well,
what's going on?
Well, I have a new piece of content I'm looking at, and just wanted to call in and check it out.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I have someone who I'm working with who is sort of being disrespectful and towards me. and what I would label as sort of arrogant in terms of knowing something ahead of time before they ask and things like that. And I'm been
so
looking for a while at, go ahead.
Can I ask you? So you mean that they ask you a question that they already think they know the answer to?
Yes.
Okay, got it. Okay, go ahead.
And sometimes it's in areas that I know the answer.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm trying to bring all the compassion and love and kindness that I can to it. And yet I get triggered by this behavior from the other person. And so I've been looking at my subpersonalities and some of the other things going on, and just don't and then there was one other time I called where you said, well, you know, don't disregard the feelings you're having. So I've been also trying to honor the feelings I'm having, so I'm not acting on them, right? I'm trying to, even though I do sometimes act, and I'm like, whoa, you know. So
you're trying not to let them build up, in other words. You're acknowledging that this is going on rather than doing the, oh, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine, and then you leap across the desk at them.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and trying not to leap across the desk or act in the same manner or, you know, do anything that would perpetuate the issue, of course, or the behavior, you know, the bad relationship that feels like is happening.
And
yeah,
is this person a coworker, a boss?
Yeah, a coworker. Coworker.
Coworker. Okay. So there's no. What do you project? It's just a personality thing. It's a.
Yeah. I think. Well, I think what I'm projecting is that that he really thinks he knows the answer. There's a story, and that and it's not personal because he's doing it to other people I've seen, and that he's like the only one who can do it. Sort of story going on, and the only one who knows how to do it, and everyone else is kind of not doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Ah, okay. So there we get into another rugged area.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
He's the only one who can do it. We could say, oh, okay, there's a little bit of an overdeveloped sense of importance, and what it means is. Everybody else is doing it wrong.
Yes, yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You know, that's just so often not popular. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, it's not. And, you know, I know that place in myself.
Mm-hmm.
I know that place of being a great problem solver and no one else can solve the problem and I can take care of it and being sort of the hero or the getting the recognition, you know, the value of that.
Mm-hmm.
Being valued for that, I guess, would be the right way to say it. And I have some childhood value that was placed on that.
Uh-huh.
From my family, yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, and how it can make other people feel inadequate or like they don't have a place or something, you know, that nature. So looking at him as a human and what's going on, I can relate to that. I can... Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For any of us when we're in that place.
Right, right.
Because there are so many subtle permutations in a situation like that. You know, if he's in a situation where people really don't know, then that's one thing. And you know, if people really don't know, then they don't actually need to be given information that they don't know because they perhaps know that they don't know. And so there's no need for that kind of abrasiveness, but it sounds like there's something else going on, that the real message is there's kind of something wrong with people who aren't
mm-hmm.
able to do this thing that he's able to do.
Right, right. And mostly it's identify negative issues and bring them up and you know, and then try to solve that problem. Or even sometimes it's not even solving the problem. It's just like, I found this problem and I found, so we're not going to make it, or we're not going to be able to proceed or something like that.
Uh-huh. So we're all in big trouble now.
Yes.
Because I have found this flaw in our system. Now, and then is it followed up with, but I have a solution for it? Or is it just that, and you people are the problem and you've caused this flaw?
Sort of the second one, yeah, most of the
uh-huh.
time.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So you recognize all of those places in, I bet there's nobody listening to this who can't. They're very human kinds of places, aren't they? And,
yes.
Yeah, and so that's nice that you recognize it in yourself.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Right.
Uh-huh.
Well, when I'm getting, so if something new is coming at me or someone who is in my area of responsibility, I tend to be triggered by it. I get identified.
So, you mean he comes to you and he tells you that he's found this thing wrong that one of your people did.
Yeah.
And
uh-huh.
and therefore it's your responsibility or your fault for not being a better supervisor.
Yeah, and many times it's not true, and I research it and find out, or I already know it isn't true, and so my response is sometimes very professional and other times not.
Other times, you're the sister, he's the brother, and go at it.
Well, you know, in a work environment, I'm not going crazy or anything. But.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Do you have to take this guy seriously?
No, maybe not.
Because it does sound like you are. And, of course, you know, one of my very favorite approaches to a situation like this is to, there are a couple of ways. One, he's just a flat-out comic.
Mm-hmm.
And he's you know, pulling your leg, and you get the joke, and you're enjoying it. Okay, so that's one where it's just, right, oh, okay, oh, real, okay, I see what you're saying, okay. And then the other is where it's more an improv comedy
uh-huh.
sort of situation where, you know, he says something and then you improvise a response back. And it's that kind of a real interactive heads up on your toes, kind of watching for the cues and
uh-huh,
taking
uh-huh.
it where, you know, which could make
yes.
it fun. Now, of course, if, you know, you don't want to be cruel about it or mean about it, but mm-hmm. just kind of giving a level of lightness to it that it sounds like it could benefit from.
Yeah, I like that idea. So sort of like, it puts some distance on it. So kind of looking at it as when you mentioned the word improv, you know, what would be another way to approach this.
That's exactly right.
Outside of the conditioned system that I get into with the survival system and all the subpersonalities getting triggered and everything.
That's exactly right. It's a disidentifying technique. If you can remember to have a sense of humor about it, you're staying disidentified.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
as you indicate, where conditioning gets us is it's serious, it gets us to be serious, and it gets us to take it seriously. And when that happens, then, of course, everybody's in big trouble.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But if you can, you know, he's just walked onto the stage, and you know he's funny. And
mm-hmm.
so there you are watching for the gag, watching for the, and can you do the yes and?
Yeah. Yeah, I like
your
that.
Your yes and doesn't necessarily have to involve a gag. It can be, you know, yes, and we could, of course, you know, I'm not professional, so, you know, it would be yes, and
as soon as the work day is over, I'm going to kill her.
Or yes, and I'll take care of looking into that as soon as I get a few minutes, or, you know, something.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that helps me with, I was kind of going that direction a little bit with this. I knew, well, when you said I'm taking it too seriously, I went, yes, that's exactly what I'm doing. And then second, I was kind of going in the direction of what you're pointing at, just with, okay, how can I look at this without it being about me and respond in a way that's sort of bigger picture, I guess, would be a way to put it?
Because what happens in that kind of situation is we just hunker down. You know, mm-hmm. it's grim and it's serious, yeah. and we're just going to gut it out and feel bad all the way. And if
he's
we can
so bad and he's
that,
so wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Why is he such a jerk? And doesn't he see that? And, blah, 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 blah. And if we can take that little step back and realize, oh, right, this is a comedy, isn't it? Not a tragedy.
Okay. Yeah,
especially,
I like that.
Especially because... And that's why I asked you who he is with you. You know, if it's a boss, or if it's a different kind of situation, then we take a slightly different tack. But with something like this, where it's just, you know, it's like a sibling, and so mm-hmm. you know, we got to survive in the family, and we want to make it through everybody happily together.
Yes,
you know, and. We don't want to be victimized by somebody's conditioning. So it's always kind of finding our way through all of that.
Yeah, and I like what you say about we all need to get along in the family. Mm-hmm. and him, my orientation to life is not his orientation to life.
Right.
Like, you know, like he's coming at this, and maybe he'd like the bantering.
Right.
You know, my response is my response.
Right.
And it's feeding something different.
Yes.
Than he really, you know, even realizes. I mean, well, obviously, I don't think he realizes any of it, but yeah.
Well, but with this kind of disidentified place and this improv orientation, we can try on different things.
Mm-hmm.
Just see what you
think. Yeah, so that kind of sounds fun, and trying on different things.
Yeah. Make it fun.
Great. Well,
thank
you so much.
Very good.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Renee. And Sherry, it's very close to 6 o'clock.
Wow. It
wow.
just flies by, doesn't it?
Yes. Flew right by.
All right. Well, and I guess it sounds to me like we're on a little hiatus.
Yes, we are.
So I won't talk to you before, but have, you know, great winter celebrations. And I think I'll see you slightly before the new year.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too. Me too. We'll make it fun.
Great.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
Yeah.
Thanks,
good night.
Jen. Good night.